Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Amen. Oh, man. Good to be here again tonight. Welcome, everyone, to PGN Prophetic Grace Network. Just glad, grateful, honored to have yet another opportunity to hear what the Lord has to say and experience another moment with God, with you. And we're grateful for that. And without further ado, welcome again to the show. I'm Terrence.
I am Tanisha. Today is July 11th. Oh, 7-11, 2021, yeah. 9:12 p.m. Central Standard Time. Like Terrence said, we are excited to be here. We're grateful for you. We're grateful for this network. Most of all, we're grateful to God.
Absolutely.
For an opportunity to be able to be used by him and to minister to and love on his people and to deliver prophetic messages as his servants to his people. So we hope that you had a great day today. It's a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we hope that, well, we know that you're going to get whatever you need tonight.
Absolutely. Because God never fails. He always comes through.
Mm-hmm.
He does exactly what he said he would do. And just learning how to trust that his work. But God is always willing, again, to prove himself
mm-hmm.
to us. Just think about it. We're not worthy to be proven to. But because us as believers have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, that has given us access. Us being covered in the blood has given us access to hear from God, to be moved by the Holy Spirit, be led and protected. And we're joint heirs. So we have a lot of benefits that come along with our salvation package. And that's a lot to be excited about. Yeah, heaven is the ultimate goal. But we should be experiencing inklings, the sprinkles, and of everyday sprinkles of heaven in our life here on earth. He says for us to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we got to start training our minds. And that's what a lot of, I've never really heard a lot of teaching on about, really getting into the mind of Christ and really seeing things the way Christ sees it. I read scriptures on it, but to really go through in-depth teachings, on that and really staying current with the Spirit of God. Because you have some believers that don't believe that really God still speaks. They think God has spoken.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't still speak. But he says he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if he was speaking then, he's speaking now, because he said he changes not. But it's all about what you can believe. And I was tripping out today's scriptures over in Matthew. That's one of my favorites right there. I mean, Mark 9 and 23, where he talks about if you can believe, then all things are possible. I'm going to read a little bit up before I give you the backdrop of that. And I'm going to start with the 20th verse. That'll give you a little bit more backdrop. On the 23rd verse, he says, and they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it had cast him into the fire, into the waters, to to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, he told this man, he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So right there, Jesus is basically saying, look, it's not about if I can do anything. It's all about, can you believe I do that, can do that? If you can believe it, he said, all things are possible. If you can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So our belief, brothers and sisters, our belief is so important. You really got to ask yourself, what do I really believe? Am I just talking? Or do I really believe this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Am I just going off a feeling or some type of hype? Or is this thing really, really, really real in my life? Is this really real to me? Do I really believe the word of God? Do I believe what God has said? Do I believe God is still speaking now? And that the words that come through prophets are the words of the Lord? Do I believe that? Do I even believe prophets still exist? You got those that say that believers don't believe that prophets walk the earth right now.
Yeah, I was told that.
Yeah.
That it was impossible for me to have a prophetic gift because prophets had ceased to exist. And I'm like, well, I'm alive, so
right.
I'm not trying to make this happen. This is my life.
Absolutely.
And so I asked for an explanation, and one could not be provided.
No,
it was just
provide.
What they were taught based
Absolutely.
On the type of church they were going to.
Absolutely.
And yes, that's why as believers, we have to even question what we're being taught and how does it line up against the word of God.
Absolutely.
Because so many people blindly follow their church and they don't question, or they don't study the word. They don't question God. You know, God welcomes your questions.
Mm-hmm.
He's not intimidated by your questions. It says, if you seek, you'll find.
Absolutely.
And so if you're conflicted by the truth, you're hearing something, but you're not sure if what you're being taught or what you're hearing is the way that you're interpreting it, ask the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He'll bring you into all truth.
Absolutely.
So what type of father will withhold truth from their child, you know, when they're seeking it? And so many people, like I said, I was told by a family member, actually, that, you know, that there was no way I had a prophetic gift or operated in prophecy because that ceased to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And they were serious. They weren't trying to be mean, but that is what they were taught. And so I explained to them that I operated in it. And it was something that I've always operated in. I didn't choose it. I actually asked the Lord to take it from me because, you know, I thought it was bizarre at first. It made me feel strange. And I was like, how do you explain it? They couldn't explain it.
Right. Because it's like if you're telling me God is not caring, what are we praying for?
Right.
You know, God has to be presently listening if we tell him each other to pray. We're telling each other to obey God's word, but then we don't believe all of it. We don't believe that he's current.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure, you know, you need to pray about it. You need to pray and ask him. Why am I asking him if he ain't current? You know? But it just goes to show that, again, we all grow at different paces. But the winner in it is that we're growing. We're growing. And if you truly want to be nurtured properly, you'll seek it. He said, you seek, you shall find it. A lot of people are not seeking anything anymore. They think that where they are, that's it then. And you have to let them be.
Or they'll even try to argue you down, but they don't
right.
even have a solid foundation
right.
on what they believe, because when you challenge their beliefs and ask them, you know, why, because blah, blah told me.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That don't work.
That's not firm.
No.
that's not sufficient, you know. Because we as believers, we're going to be challenged
mm-hmm.
in our beliefs, and we have to even question our beliefs sometimes,
absolutely.
From time to time, so that we can be firm in it. You know, if somebody challenges you and you found yourself in a position where you, I don't know why I believe that is due, go to the Lord. You know, I realized something today. I was doing one of those Bible app plans, and it's good to know. This is good. I'm going to use this.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing a Bible app plan for the last 5 days, and I was doing it by myself. And it was about how to deal with foolish people, evil people, wise people. It was just basically how to deal with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt led to do this little plan. And today was the last day of the plan. I did it early this morning. And it was talking about how to deal with evil people. And it said that with evil people, you just basically take an approach. I want to say I screenshotted it. Hold on. I'm going to read it to you. Because I got a revelation when I read this. Yeah, okay. It says the first key to healthy relationships is to accept that not everyone is spirit-filled, wise, responsible, teachable, or a good investment of time and energy. We must determine which category we are in and invite wise people who love us enough to tell us the truth to help us see ourselves more clearly. So I screenshotted that because I like the whole, we have to determine who's a good investment of time and energy, right?
Right.
And they were saying how, I guess I didn't screenshot the part about the evil people. I'm looking through my screenshots. I screenshot a lot of stuff today, but that's not on there. But the writer said that for evil people, you basically give them nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And Terrence knows. He'll know who I'm talking about. So as I say it, that was in a position where having to deal with an evil person, and I would offer nothing, no words. I wouldn't speak when the evil person would speak to me. I would say nothing, and it could have came off as rude. But I told Terrence, I said, I feel like the Lord is telling me to offer this person to give them absolutely nothing. And it's my belief that this person is an evil person. And I had even talked to some friends about it, and they were like, well, maybe, you know, you should, you know, it's kind of polite to, if somebody speaks to you, to speak back, even if you think they're evil or whatever the case may be. And I'm like, I understand that. I'm the queen of cordial. I don't have to like you to hold a conversation with you. I don't have to like you to do anything for you. I'll love you regardless. So I'm going to do for you based on love, not based on my personal opinion or feelings about you, or even hardcore facts and knowledge I know about you. I don't operate like that. Mm-hmm. I'm beyond that at this stage of my life. I was like, but I don't feel the need to be, quote, cordial. I'm not being mean because I'm not doing it. It's not coming from a hateful place. It's not coming from a, well, you did this to me, so I'm going to give you the silent treatment. I don't even believe in the silent treatment. I was like, it was not coming from that place. I was like, I really feel like God is telling me to give this person nothing, not even a single word, to offer them absolutely nothing. And I didn't understand.
Right.
And I did pray about it. And it's like today I finally got my answer, because that person is evil. And that is how you deal with evil people. You don't give them any time or energy. You don't invest anything in them.
Mm-hmm.
Because with this particular person, they take things and twist it. You could say hello, and they'll twist it to say, well, Tanisha said, you know, something completely far left, you know, and it's crazy. But that's how the Lord told me to deal with that person. And so even when God is leading you, it's okay to question. We should be questioning our beliefs or the things that we do or our behavior, and God will provide the answer, because I didn't get the answer right away, but I did get the answer. But I knew that I was operating out of obedience, that it wasn't coming from a hateful place. It wasn't coming from a bitter place. It wasn't coming from a tit-for-tat place. I knew that even though in the natural it could have looked like I was being impolite, you know, or rude or whatever, even petty, I knew that that wasn't the case. So even though it appeared to be a certain way, I had to just be obedient and do what God told me to do when it came to dealing with this particular person, to just give them nothing, mm-hmm. give them nothing of you. No time, no energy, no conversation, no, give them nothing. And so it was just refreshing for me to read that today and feel like I really got my answer as to why the Lord had me behave like that, you know, because again, I'm the queen of cordial. But, you know, even traditional teachings, we can't fall back on that. We always have to be doing what the Lord told us to do and tells us to do,
mm-hmm.
despite what we would normally do or even despite what's habitual. But, you know, it's okay to question it, to question, well, why are you having me do this when I could, you know, hello won't hurt, you know,
mm-hmm.
but maybe it will, you know, maybe it's feeding from you and the Lord's trying to starve it out. So all that to say that this is what the Lord giving me personal instructions on how to deal with a person, and I question it. So how much more should we be questioning what we're being taught,
mm-hmm.
what we believe, how much we should question those things, because then it makes you stronger in them. So now I feel stronger in getting, you know, when God is speaking to me, even when it seems like, I would handle this different, I feel stronger now that I'm just going to do what the Lord tells me to do,
mm-hmm.
because he knows what's best. Every situation is not going to be handled the exact same,
nope.
you know, because there's levels to there's people who are evil and or have some evil ways in certain areas of their lives, but they're not inherently evil, right? Some people can come out of that. Some people are just evil to the core, and you know, rotted to the core.
Mm-hmm.
And with this particular person, that's always been my belief and my stance. I've always tried to see something otherwise. But I've always said, no, this person is truly an evil person. So I feel more confident in being led and directed by God. And so when you question your beliefs and question the things that you're being taught, you will become stronger in those things. And we as believers, we need to be strong in our faith, and we need to be strong in our beliefs, and we need to be solid in our beliefs, because we're going to be challenged all the time. And so many people, even believers I see, are starting to conform to the beliefs of the world because they're not strong in their beliefs.
Mm-mm.
And so they'll tell them, the world will sit up there and do just like the devil did with Jesus when he tried to tempt them. They'll take the word of God and twist it to fit their agenda. And if you're not strong or solid in your beliefs, or if you're not well-versed in the word, then you'll fall for it, because you don't know if what they're saying is true or not, especially if they come matter-of-factly. We talked about that before, that people are drawn into confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You could be a confident fool that people will follow after you. Look at cults. These people will be complete whack jobs, but they're confident in their delusion. They're confident in their madness,
mm-hmm.
and that draws people in. And so as a believer, you could be having a conversation with a worldly person who knows a little bit of scripture, and they're confident in their interpretation of it. And if you're not solid in your beliefs, or if you're not strong in the word, then you could start to change your mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is the battlefield is truly in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the realm of belief begins, and faith all starts in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they could change your mind about what you thought you believed in scripture, then they could change your behavior. And they could change your path, and they could change your course, because now, did God really say, you know, look at how the enemy even treated, you know, Eve in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Did he really say this? He takes scripture and he twists it if you're not solid or strong in it or firmly rooted in it,
mm-hmm.
and will have you questioning it. Well, God says to love all, so you need to be accepting of this lifestyle and this type of agenda and this blah, 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 and if you don't, then you're not showing the love of God. You're not, and that's twisting things.
Yeah, because love and acceptance is not the same thing.
Right. And so now you've changed your mind about what it is to have the love of God. So now when you're faced with a opportunity to minister or witness to somebody, you're not going to use it because you feel like now to do that would be to the opposite of love. And so now while you have good intentions, the enemy has twisted things in your mind and in your beliefs so that you're not continuing to spread the gospel and spread the truth. And so we need to be questioning and taking our questions to God as far as the things that we believe in our faith so that we can be solid. It's okay to question it. You know, I've known believers who felt that I was wrong to question God. Oh, you don't question God. You just do what you're told. And I'm like, no. God is my friend too. You know, he calls us friends.
Mm-hmm.
You're not afraid to question your friend. It says if we seek, we shall find. It says that he won't withhold any good thing from us. That even if an earthly parent would not withhold good things from their child, you know, sinful, why would God withhold a good thing from us? And so truth is good. It's good to be solid. It's good to be firmly rooted. These are things that are good. So why would he withhold good things from us?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a bad result of somebody being firmly rooted in the truth.
Right.
Now, I have seen bad results with somebody being firmly rooted in deception and lies, because it doesn't matter how firm you are. It doesn't even matter how confident you are. What you stand on is going to determine if you stand.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're standing on deception and lies, it will eventually crumble because it is not the truth, which means it is not solid. But if you're standing on the firm truth in the word of God, then you will stand. And so that's what determines how people stand. Sometimes it looks like you're not firm. Sometimes it looks like you're going to fall, but you're not, because it all determines on what are you standing on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and somebody could look like they're really solid. And I'm telling you now, if they're standing on deception and lies, that thing's going to come up from under them. They're gonna tumble. They're gonna stumble.
Absolutely.
I remember one of the first things that the Lord told me, as a brand new believer, and you know, everything was very confusing to me. It was all very new to me because I didn't have the childhood foundation of faith. So I'm coming in, learning everything from scratch. And I was scared, you know, honestly, I was scared to give this my all. I was scared to give God my all. What if I don't do it right? I'm a messed up person. What if I fall? What if I do that? I had all these what ifs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the Lord said, I will not let you fall, but I will make you great through my name. I will never forget that. I wrote it down in a Bible that I no longer own because I never wanted to forget it, but it's been forever seared into my soul. Because I'll never forget, that was one of the first things I heard the Lord speak to me, where I knew it was God speaking. I will not let you fall, but I will make you great through my name. Through it. So I already knew right then and there, greatness wasn't going to come through Tanisha. Greatness mm-hmm. was going to come through his name. That's the only way I could be great. And so that's the only way we could be solid. It's through him. We could try other ways. I tried other ways. I even, after becoming a believer, had a period of rebellion where I said, leave me alone. I'm not doing this no more. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm tired of doing things your way. It doesn't work when I do things your way. It feels like I'm always on the losing end of the stick, and I'm sick of it. Everybody else want to do wicked, do bad, and they look like they're getting all the things that they want, and they're achieving things, and they're coming up. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here just getting dogged to shreds, so I'm not doing it no more. And it didn't work. It didn't work. And I started to see things up close and personal and see the cracks in people who try to pretend like things are going good and they're just a big old floppy mess. People will pretend and fake and shake, and they don't want to admit that their ways are not working for them and they're lost. You know, people want to pretend like, oh yeah, I've got this, and they're really lost. They're circling the block. You've seen them for the 30th time. Like, hey, you need some directions? No, I'm good. As you see them circling for the 31st time, you know. Mm-hmm. So I learned that stuff be fake. Them people do not be, if they don't have God as the foundation, it's a whole lot of faking and shaking. It's a whole lot of stunting. It's a whole lot of smoke screens and mirrors. But when you have the Lord, even when it doesn't look like you're winning, even when it doesn't feel like you're on something firm, I'm telling you now that you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's solid. You won't fall. You just keep standing firm. Terrence and I are seeing that right now. God has really been moving in our lives in things that we've been fighting for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
For a very long time, it felt like, man, aren't a fight supposed to be 12 rounds? Why are we in like the 37th round of this thing? And why haven't we, you know, won? Mm-hmm. But we were still in the fight, you know, and we kept pressing and we kept believing God, and we're seeing breakthroughs. We really are. And it has just been amazing, and it has really taken our faith to the next level. Because sometimes it really does feel like you're not, it's not panning out the way God said, or it feels like, you know, for some reason with you, you're not obtaining the things that you know that you should be,
mm-hmm.
and everybody else around you is, but you're not. And you're like, I don't know what else to do. I've done everything that I can do in my human ability and power, and sometimes it's just a matter of time. You're fighting time. You're really fighting time. And you're allowing it to get the best of you, and you have to just stand firm. And God, is this really what you said? Because if it's not, you know, I've had those moments.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, am I believing wrong? Because I'm trying to do this thing. If I'm wrong, if I misinterpreted it, right? If I had a Joseph moment where the dream was true, he just kind of misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a misunderstanding, you know, you could let me know. And I can shift my belief so I can quit being on the hamster wheel, you know, and go about my business and quit trying to fight this battle that I'm in the wrong ring. And God's like, no, you're hearing right. I'm like, okay, well,
I guess
I'm just learning to endure, which is something that we need, you know, and because you go through suffering when you are waiting for something and you're trying and feel like every door is slamming in your face and shutting the windows. They're closing the chimney top. Like they're finding, making it to where you ain't got no way to get in.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I'm supposed to be in there. And there's a suffering that comes along with it, with that, when you know that you're entitled to something and you're not getting it. But that suffering does really give you endurance. It does give you endurance.
Absolutely.
And we need that. We need that endurance. I think we touched on that last week, that everything God uses it all, and suffering gives you endurance. Everybody wants to be able to endure, but they don't want to pay for it. They say, okay, you can have strong faith, endurance, tenacity, boldness, this, that, and the other. Everybody be like, sign me up. Okay, it's going to cost you suffering, persecution, this, that. Oh, no. Never mind. You know, people wouldn't want it, but understand that the things that we pay for, it's buying us something, right? We bought some things in the spiritual realm. It's like we went to the store, okay, you know, and we put endurance on the counter, and when they rang us up, that'll be suffering. You know, we want tenacity, that'll be patience. We want the hundredfold blessing. That'll be persecution. You know, we want these things, but we don't want to pay the price. Everything ain't monetary.
And the beauty behind it is that you're not doing it alone.
Yes.
Like, because God said he'll never leave nor forsake us. So even in the midst of us suffering for his name's sake, we still got him who wants to take the burden.
Absolutely.
Even as we're going through that period of waiting,
mm-hmm.
we dealing with our suffering, but God said he'll give us peace.
Yes.
In the midst of it. Because we could be waiting frantically.
Yeah.
But he's there to provide peace to aid us through it. So we we have to be also careful not to make it about us, because it ain't about us in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So what you got to suffer? He already did. And still willing to provide you things even in the midst of this little short-term suffering that we go through here in this earth. So the word tonight is, it's worth the wait. But are you willing?
Yeah.
Do you think it's worth the wait?
And are you willing to wait?
And are you willing to wait? Because it's available for us all. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's good. That's so good. And Terrence and I were talking about how so many people, they're on the right track, but the enemy gets a hold of their mind and starts to, you know, put those seeds of doubt in. And right when they're almost there, they'll fall away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will fall away. Because even we were talking about the house that we're having built, and how, one, God had already told us the location and everything back in 2000 and what?
17,
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we allowed doubt to come in, and we started in looking other places, looking other cities, looking at, pre-loved homes, all that kind of stuff. But even when we got back serious about our hunt, because God had started to speak to Terrence and telling him, like, dates, when to do stuff. Like, he started giving Terrence, like, step-by-step instructions. And we were getting very frustrated at one point. And I was just telling Terrence yesterday how one of the houses that we looked at, I really didn't like the house. I mean, it was cool, but I didn't like it. And I was willing to just be like, you know what, let's just get this one, because I was just frustrated. I was so frustrated, and I didn't. And Terrence was getting frustrated. We both were very frustrated. And I remember us sharing our frustrations, because God had told him the time frame of the house, and God had told me the ceiling that was going to come along, that I was going to know which house, because I was going to get a ceiling. And we just trusted what each other felt, and we prayed about it. And then, no lie, within the next hour, we found the house that we're actually getting built. But I could have really allowed my frustration to get me out of what God had for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times people allow frustration to take them out of the race, to take them out of their, take them out of the line, so to speak. It's almost like you've been standing in line, right? I don't know about you all, but I don't like standing in line. Like Terrence knows, we go to a restaurant and the wait time is over a certain amount, I'm gone. Like, I'd be like, nope. Mm-mm-mm. Do you want to get on a nope? I'm like, nope, time, let's go. I'm not waiting 45 minutes to eat or an hour to eat, and I'm already hungry, because then we got to wait to be seated. Then we got to go through the menu. Then we got to order. Then we got to wait on the food. So I be calculating all that time in my head. So even though they're telling me it's a 45-minute wait, that means I'm calculating in my head that that's about an hour and 15-minute wait to actually consume food besides that free bread they have on the table. So I'd be like, nope, I don't like to. I am not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like standing in line either, long lines. Sometimes you have to when you're at the grocery store, and that's just, it is what it is, but I don't like it. And so it's almost like sometimes in life, it feels like God said, okay, I've got this, and this for you. Now here, you got to stand in line. And you've been standing there for years. And now your patience is thin. So you're like, you know what? You get tired, like, this line ain't moving. And you get out the line right when you was going to be next. But you don't see that. Like, you can't see who's next and all that kind of stuff. It just feels like you're just standing there because it's your race. So you can't see what's going on up at the front of the line. But you get frustrated and you get out of the line and you, now you got to get back in line, because God will always give you an opportunity. But a lot of the times that's what people do. They get out of line for what's for them right when they're next.
Mm.
They right about to call your number, because, you know, sometimes you go places and they call your number and you're A21 and you waiting and waiting, A19, A20, you're like, oh, okay, I'm next. And then they talking about some B11. Hold up. I'm A21. You just went, how do you go from A20 to B11? And I'm A20. And you get frustrated. You're like, dang, did they forget about me? And sometimes it feels like that. Did they forget about me? And they go to B12, B13, and C84 or something. And then all of a sudden, A21 comes up. You'd be like, why are they skipping around and playing with people like that? But that's what it feels like sometimes. Like, it feels like you're like, dang, did I get skipped or forgotten about? And so you just leave. And you was right about to be called next. Your number is up. That's the word for tonight. Your number's up. It's your time. Do not get out of the line. Do not walk out of the building.
Absolutely.
It's your time. Right now, you know,
stay in position.
That's it. Now, if you got to stay in position grumbling, if you got to stay in position pouting, do what needs to be done, but just stay in position and get yourself together. Give yourself a minute to pout and grumble and rumble and complain because, you know, like, move this line. This line ain't moving. This line is so long, man. I'm just so sick of this line. My feet starting to hurt. Blah, blah, blah. And then get yourself together. But stay in position. Do not give your ticket. Don't throw your little number ticket in the trash. Don't get out the line. Don't go fuming out, stomping, sitting there wasting my time. Been in this line for 5 years. I've been waiting in line for some of my miracles and some things that God has promised me for 16 years. That's a long time for a word to come to pass. Actually, I remember when I first, right before I moved out here, the church I was going to, which was an amazing church, amazing spirit-filled, miracle, prophetic. They would lay hands. I mean, it's an amazing church. And some of the elders in the church had anointed my feet and prayed over me before, you know, I came out here. And they said they saw a harvest of souls. God was going to use me mightily in ministry. And they even gave me a present to represent, you know, me transitioning, and they saw me in ministry and all this kind of stuff. That didn't happen until I got involved with PGN, truth be told. And by the time I discovered, or that God introduced me, rather, to PGN, was 2014. I've been out here since 2005. And so sometimes God will tell you well in advance. Why? I don't know. But he will. He anointed David as king when he was a boy, and God has his reasons. And so I know for some of you, it feels like the things that you're getting tired of waiting for have been a very long time. And so I know, 16 years, some of this stuff, 16, that's a long time. But when you live in, that's all you got is time. That's what life is, right? It's all moments in time. So instead of dwelling on it, you just continue to believe for it and question God. Do I need to let this go? Because there was times I was like, do I need to let go of owning a home? If you want me to rent for the rest of my life, that's fine. But just let me know that so I can release that, you know, owning a house. If that's just not for me on this side of eternity, I can accept that. I just need you to really hook up my mansion on the other side of eternity. Since I don't get to partake in that on this side, I can accept that, but just let me release that, because it's almost becoming a torture to me, because I'm believing for something. If I'm believing for something that's never going to happen, that ain't right. And the Lord kept telling me, no, nope, keep believing. Okay. So question what you believe, right? Question what you taught. Question what God has personally told you. Question the things that you're believing in, because there's nothing wrong with that. It's just going to make you stronger in those things. There's nothing wrong with questioning things at all. And as believers, we should be, because when we're strong in those things, then when the enemy comes trying to rattle our cage and try to shake us up and shake us up out of our position, we're solid in it. We are solid. That's how you become strong, is questioning. When I kept telling Lord, well, do you want me to let this go? No. Okay. Then I was, that made me stronger. That's how I was able to overcome and endure. Because I questioned, am I wrong in this? Do I need to release this? And he like, no, just quit thinking about it. Set your mind on something else. Because if that's not bringing you, if setting your mind and knowing what you're going to have is torturing you, then set your mind on something else. Because I already gave you my position. But you're letting your impatience, like I would get angry. I don't even want it no more. You could keep it. I just rent, you know. I'm having tantrums and everything. But questioning it made me strong in it. And so some of you are wondering what you need to do. That's it, is to question it. Question the Lord. That is not offensive. He is not going to be offended. He is not going to be angry at you. It's going to make it stronger for you. It's going to solidify you in things. Because we need to be strong in our beliefs. We need to be strong in everything. Really, as believers, because we're always going to be challenged. We're always going to be challenged, and we need to be strong. And that's how you gain confidence. When you're strong in things, you know, think about when you were in school or in college or whatever, and there was a subject that you were strong in, and there was a pop quiz, everybody else sweating. They armpits immediately started giving way. And you just sitting there like, I got this, you know, that little challenge accepted because you were strong in it. Everybody had a strong subject in school, even if the strong subject was lunch. Everybody had something they were strong in in school. And if a challenge came up, they didn't feel no type of way about it because they were confident in things because they were strong in it. And so that's how you build confidence in things, by being strong in it. And how you become strong in it is to question God about it, because God will reinforce you. I want to look at that word reinforce real quick before we start taking or start praying for people. I didn't know what we was going to talk about tonight.
Mm-hmm. It always comes
right when it needs to. Hold on, I don't know what my phone just did. I tried to put reinforce, and it put like something in that ain't even a word. Okay. Let's go here to Merriam-Webster, my favorite. To strengthen by additional assistance, material or support, make stronger or more pronounced. Oh, I love that. To strengthen or increase by fresh additions. Ooh, I like that. To encourage a response by reinforcements. So when we question God, he reinforces us, right? And that does what? It makes us stronger. And then when we're stronger, we gain what? Confidence. Mm-hmm. And so when those challenges come, right, those little pop quizzes, so to speak, we can take them on.
Mm-hmm.
We could take them on because we're solid, we're strong, and we're confident. And we need that in every area. Our beliefs, our what God is speaking to us, our faith. We need to be reinforced and strong and confident in those things so that when those little pop quizzes come, we got this. When the devil comes, I'm going to get out the line. You're sitting here wasting your life. You say, no, God told me to wait right here. This is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
When you feel like your number got skipped and you ready to throw that whole little piece of paper that looked like a little arrow in the trash, you say, nope, they didn't forget about me. I don't know what they over there doing, but they didn't forget about me. Even when I went to the DMV, when I changed my last name, that literally happened to me where they went from like A19 to like B something. I was like, should I ask a worker? Like what? Then it went to C something. Like, did they skip me or And the Lord said, no, just wait your turn. I'm like, okay. So they must have caught about 4 or 5 more numbers that were going further and further down the alphabet. And then here come my number, A, whatever. I was like, oh, okay. But so I know how that feels, to feel like you got skipped. And I just asked the Lord, like, should I talk to a worker? Well, I don't got time to be sitting here all day. I'm like, no, wait your turn. And that's a reinforcement. So I did. I started playing Bubble Breaker or something on my phone and waited my turn. Every time they said a number, I made sure I tuned in and looked at the screen to make sure I wasn't so engrossed in my game that I did get skipped. But he told me to wait my turn, and I did. And I was confident that my number was going to get called eventually, and it was. And the lady was that had helped me, she was so nice and so bubbly. She had such a good spirit. And I told her before I left, I said, man, God has really given you, you have such a sweet spirit. And she was just like, oh, my God, thank you. I was like, you do it. Like, your spirit is so sweet. And so maybe I needed to just tell that lady that, you know. Maybe she needed to hear that about who she is and that somebody saw it. You know, I see it. We didn't have a long conversation. We were talking about name changing stuff. But I was able to see that in her. So the wait even has purpose. Sometimes it feels like it doesn't, but everything, God does everything for his purposes. Even if you don't understand it at the time, like the case with the evil person where God was like, nope, say nothing. I'm like, okay, say nothing, give nothing, don't respond, don't nothing, just radio silence. And I'm like, okay. And it made sense to me today. Why? And it reinforced what I felt, what I was feeling on that person, as far as the type of person that they are. And so just, you know, like I said, you question it, God will make it make sense when it needs to make sense, or will explain when it needs to be explained. You'll know when you need to know. But that's how you grow strong. It's to question things. I'm tired, you guys. I'm just letting you guys know that, because I'm starting to feel myself ramble, which I tend to do when I'm very tired. So what we're going to do tonight, because we definitely want everybody to get what they need, we're going to unmute you, get your name, mute you back, and pray for you. We're going to do it like Wednesdays, like how Randy does Wednesdays, because we want to pray over everybody, but we also want to give ourselves some time to turn in a little earlier tonight, because we had a long day out in the Texas sun. Come on, Texans, you know how that sun does. It drains you. And but we wasn't going to let that stop us from making ourselves available to God's people. So first I'm going to do a collective prayer over everybody, and then we're going to unmute, get names, and we're going to pray and see what God has for you tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another day and another night, an opportunity to minister to your people, an opportunity to hear from you, Lord. We know that we have opportunities to hear from you all throughout the day, 24 hours a day, but Lord, we come and we know that where 2 or 3 are gathered, you're there in the midst, and we know that you do have people appointed in this earth as prophets, and Terrence and I are grateful that you've used us in this network for your people to make ourselves available to use our mouths to speak your words to your people and give them what they need. So, Lord, we ask tonight to give the people what they need, to help them, to reinforce them so that they're strong and solid and confident in their beliefs and in your path and will for their life, and so that when the challenge comes, they will not be shaken. They will not even stumble, that they will stand firm. So I speak that, Father God, that your people would stand firm. And, Lord, we just petition you to have your way tonight. We petition you, Father God, to heal your people in every area, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, Lord, and habitually with habits. We break bad habits tonight, Father God. We ask scales to come off eyes where there's areas of blindness. Yes. Help us to see things clearly. Father God, we petition for discernment, Lord, and wisdom, so that we know how to operate in all areas, even when we don't quite know why we're doing it, that we're operating in wisdom. We desire that, Father God, and we know that that when we ask a question of you, we ask, we'll find, we seek, we find, and that you'll withhold no good thing from us. So, Lord, we just thank you for all of these things. Let this all be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, hold on real quick. I'm just writing some things down. I don't want to miss anybody. Sometimes people will hang up and then I'll miss somebody and I don't want to do that. A lot of you tonight. Wow. Still going down the line. That's why you hear the silence. Terrence is just, I thought Terrence was going to fill in the silence. But it's enough. What are you over there doing? Okay, I'm just writing down all the area code and prefixes. I'm almost done here. And then I'm going to start muting.
When you do your thing, I just let you do it the way that you see fit.
All right. Okay. That's everybody. Yeah. We got quite a few people tonight. Okay. Make sure we get everybody, too. All right, let's start here from the top. 251-342.
This is Latrice from Bama.
Hey, Latrice, how are you tonight?
Is well, in spite of.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to mute you and we're going to pray for you. I'm going to start off. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Latrice, Father God. We thank you for the renewal of strength, Father God. We thank you that she's going to be able to take on more. It's just like when a person is like weight training and they start off with smaller weights and then they, as their muscle builds, they're able to take on stronger. Hold on, let me drink some water. Actually, some power, right? But as their muscle builds, they're able to take on more weight. Same body, right? They didn't get a new body, but their muscles have grown and activated, and so now they could take on more. They're stronger. And I see God renewing your strength and doing it in a way where you're stronger, which means you could take on more weight. And so sometimes that feels or that sounds bad if somebody says, I'm putting more weight on you. You know, now if you're at a certain capacity, yeah, if you put more weight on me and I'm only designed to carry 50 pounds and you're going to put more on me, I could crush under the pressure. But if I'm conditioned and strong and you put more weight on me and I'm stronger, it doesn't feel no different. And sometimes it feels like less weight because I'm stronger. And that's what I see. I see God renewing your strength and making you stronger so that you can have more weight on you, but the weight is not affecting you. You're not crushing. You're not straining where you don't even notice the difference, even though you've got more on you. So, Lord, we just thank you for Latrice. We thank you, Father God, for the replenishing of her strength, Jesus, and we just thank you that she's able to take on more, handle more, put her hand on more, and pour into more, because weight has to be dealt with. And so it's an opportunity for her to put her stamp on it and to deal with it in with wisdom. And so we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You got anything? You want to get, oh, you want to do like alternate? Okay. 903-808, who are we speaking to?
Yeah, this is Janie in Texas.
Hey, Janie, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
All right.
Amen. Okay, we're going to mute you and pray for you. Yes.
Let's pray for you. Well, we thank you for Janie tonight, Father God. We just thank you for the preparation. God has prepared you for like this moment that you're entering in. You know, the preparation was necessary. A lot of times we look at it as when we're going through things that it's time consuming, but it's really preparation. Our perception of what God is currently doing in our lives is what has already been done. And so when you think about it, it's like you are waiting on God to show you something that's been prepared, but while you're in your current reality and moving toward it, it feels like God is doing something, you know. But he is, because he's current in the present. He's there in the end, and he was there in the beginning. So he's everywhere. Mm-hmm. So walk him preparing you. He's there through preparation. He was there when he created it for you, you know, and he's going to be there when you reach it, when you get to that point, that phase. And so we just thank God for your strength and your mental fortitude, your mind, and understanding truly how strong your mind is, how powerful your mind is. You know, whatever you're minding, that's what's going to be. You know, we always, you know, tell people in your business, man, mind your business. Mind your business. You know, in other words, stay focused on the things that you got going on.
Right.
Literally. Stay focused on that. Mind your business. Because your business that you're minding is the business of the Father. It's all intertwined, and so you're not doing anything like if you've been questioning, like, should I be doing this, or should, you know, because this really ain't making sense. It's not gonna make sense, you know, to you. But it's just about making the moves that you have to make, and by walking in obedience. And we just thank God for that flowing in your life tonight. That's what I got for you,
Jimmy. Amen. All right, let's go. Next caller here is, wait, what did I just do? What did I do? Mm-hmm. Yeah. 754, no, wait, I didn't unmute them. 754-240.
Hey, Terrence and Tanisha, this is Donald and Tanya from Miami.
Hey, Donald and
What's
Tanya,
up?
How are
What's
you?
What's up, family? Y'all all right?
Hey, we're doing good. We hanging in there.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Good to hear.
How you guys doing?
Great.
Yeah, we're doing good. All right, I'm going to mute y'all, and we're going to pray for both of you.
That's good.
Let's do this.
Hey, Lord, we just thank you right now for Donald, Father God. We thank you for the, I see you like holding on. It's almost like the word that was given tonight about to just hold on, hold your place. And I see you holding on. That's the word for you, to just hold on. It's coming. It's coming. It's almost like I see you at a train station and somebody says, okay, I've got this $1 million package that's coming, and just wait at the train station, but they don't give you the train number, they don't give you the time, and you're just waiting. All these different trains are coming, they're unloading, they say, hey, is there a package for me, is there something for Donald? And they're like, nope. And the next train comes, and the next train comes, and the next train, and so on and so forth, and you're just waiting there, and you're like, man, let me go on and go, because I've been waiting, and 20 trains that came with all these different cargo packages, and there's nothing for me. And I think maybe I got some wrong information, but no, it's coming. Just stay where you're supposed to be. Just stay in position. Just hold on. Sometimes our position is mental. You know, just stay in the mental position of expectancy. That's all you got to do. It's coming, though. It's like your train is about to pull up, and you ready to just say, you know what, let me go on and go home and go to sleep. I'm tired. Because sometimes it's exhausting to wait, you know, even waiting in line. I think that's part of the thing I don't like about waiting in line for a long time. It makes me tired. But hold your position. Your train is coming. Even if it feels like the things that God has told you are, like, really far-fetched and, like, really impossible, it's all things are possible with God. What's not possible with man is possible with God, because I know God has given you some pretty out there words, prophetic words, and it's like you're like, wow, that sounds great, but you're sitting there in your mind like, how is that going to come to pass? You know, because it's so out there. But just keep believing it. If you got a question, God, question him. You know, Lord, am I a multimillionaire? You know, question him. Whatever, and he'll reinforce you. But just stay in position mentally where you are in a where you have an expectancy. And for Tanya, Lord, we just thank you for Tanya. We thank you for overcoming the learning. I see you, Tanya, like really teaching women. Especially how to cope with motherhood, practically what to do, how to overcome like exhaustion and being tired, how to find balance with the stresses that come along with motherhood. Some women are really fried. I know women that are fried, that I'm kind of waiting for them to say that, but they don't want to admit it. And I see you teaching women especially how to overcome, how to cope, how to be practical, how to be honest. Some women don't want to be honest and say, man, my kids be getting on my nerves, or, you know, I'm stressed out, or I've been dealing with some anxiety because of this, that, and the other. And it's okay to admit those things. It's just not okay to accept them. And to just say that's just the way it is, because that's how some people take things, where they're like, well, that's just the way it is. That's just the way the ball bounces. And that's not true. You know, while that may be a temporary truth in your life right now, it doesn't have to be a permanent truth. We have options, right? As believers, we don't have to stay in a stuck position, so to speak. We can come out of stuck. And I see you teaching women how to do that, how to be honest with themselves, honest about how they feel, and how to overcome it. But of course, the Lord always uses us first, right? We're always the trial run. That's how we become great teachers. That's how we become great at what we teach people and how we lead people. Because we have been there, done that. You know, Terrence is an amazing man of faith. Why? Because he's had to deal with some faith things. You know, that's just the way it goes. When you look at any person in ministry, and if you can like find where they're like really strong, that's because they've overcome that particular area. And so while we're in it, we're just trying to sometimes just keep our head above water. But God is really going to use that as our, you know, something that we're strong in to teach other people. But that's what I see for you. And Lord, we just thank you for it, Father God. Continue to give her strength and teach her how to overcome the stresses and the anxieties and the frustrations. Give her practical steps and help her to realize overall that she's not alone. Even when she has, you know, human help, that there's still help beyond that. Our help cometh from you. Our help cometh from the Lord. So even when we have human help, that God is using them to help us. And so we're never alone. We're never struggling. We always have the help of the Lord. So, Lord, just help her to keep that at the forefront of her mind, that she always has help available, even when she feels like she doesn't have human help, that she always has help from you. And let that all be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Next call is 404-453. Who are we speaking with?
Madeline.
Hey, Madeline, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine. Hi, guys.
How are
hey,
you?
We haven't talked to you in a little bit.
I know. We're coming on in. I'm still holding on.
Yes, yes. We are too. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to mute you and pray for you.
All right, Lord, we thank you for Madeline tonight, Father God. We just thank you for the sunshine, y'all blossoming, blooming, blossoming, sunshine. I just saw like your face like in the sun, like your face in the sun, like you in the sun are shining, like the God in you, the Christ in you is shining. To shine and continue to let your light shine. Continue to let your light shine, because as you're shining, you are being what other people need in their lives to get to have the light on them, so that they can grow, that they can be nurtured, so that they can get a bud. They can bud in life and blossom and be totally dependent on God. Because dependency on the Lord is not easy. Dependency on the Lord is a very difficult human task. Because you have so many human emotions. You have so many human-like things that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why being born again, being born of the Spirit, is so important. Because then we put our lives in perspective to understand that it's not about how I feel or what I really want from a fleshly perspective, but when I'm in the Spirit, I know it's what the Spirit wants. Whatever the Spirit declares, that's what the flesh is going to respond to. That's how we win. That's how we walk congruently with the plan of God, walking with him. And that's the power of the rebirth. The rebirth. Being born again. And seeing everything that God has desired to be in our lives. And so as you're walking with the sun and you are letting your light shine, like everything that you touch grows. Everything that you touch benefits, because you're in position. But we just thank God for giving you what you need, allowing you to be at peace, allowing you to be focused, and allowing you to continue to walk in the pureness of God, walk in the pureness of him, so that he can be glorified. And we just thank you in Jesus' name for that. Amen.
Before you started praying for her, I heard a song in my head,
mm-hmm.
by Stevie Wonder. It's called A Place in the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about her moving. Yeah. You have to listen to that song, Madeline, A Place in the Sun. One of the lyrics is, because there's a place in the sun where there's hope for everyone, where my poor restless heart's got to run. There's a place in the sun, and before my life is done, got to find me a place in the sun. I was looking up the lyrics, so when Terrence was praying, I was like, wow, that's so cool. But yeah, listen to that song, Place in the Sun by Stevie Wonder. All right, let's go to our next caller here. 470-433. Who are you speaking with?
Good evening. My name is Sabrina, and I'm calling from Illinois.
Did you say Sabrina?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you for calling in tonight, Sabrina. I'm going to mute you and pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Sabrina, Father God. We thank you for the teaching. I see you teaching people. So I don't know if you want to like be an actual teacher or if it's just God uses you in a teaching capacity with those who are around you. But I see you teaching people, which is, teaching is an amazing thing because people need good teachers. There's so many people out here who want to teach. And even like now, we live in a day of social media and people want attention. People want followers. Like I saw today something on social media where somebody was taking one of those plug-in things, right, that you plug into the wall to make your house smell good. And it was empty. And so they were showing a teaching of them popping the top and putting in like fabric softener and some sort of cleaning product and then plugging it back in the wall. And everybody's like, oh man, so amazing. Reading the comments. Oh, it's so cool. It's so amazing. Save money. And I'm like, that's a whole really fabric softener and a cleaning product. And you want to just be breathing those chemicals in or possibly causing a fire at the electrical outlet because it's not designed for that. And I was like, that's crazy. Like people just follow after anything. They'll learn off of anybody, people who are just not qualified. Because everybody want to be teaching, you know, with TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and all these different Clubhouse, all these different social media outlets, YouTube. You know, they want to teach, but they're not qualified to teach. So you got the dumb leading the ignorant. And so some people are just being taught wrong. So I was looking at that, and I'm like, man, I hope nobody does that because that don't seem like that's not very smart, you know. So, so we need solid people to teach people. People need to be taught by people with wisdom, right? People who are after God, not just trying to be trendy or cool. And that's the problem with people. When people are teaching to get likes or followers or to be cool or trendy, that's not the good motive because we owe people love. So if I'm not teaching you and it's not coming from a place of love, I might as well not even do it. I might as well not do anything that I'm gifted to do if there's no love behind it. Is if you don't have love, you don't have nothing. And so I see God using you in that teaching capacity because you would do it coming from a good place of love and coming from a place of wisdom, which is what people need. You got too many court jesters in teaching positions. And then now you got people just walking in idiotic ways because, you know, idiotic teachers. You know, I remember, I think it was Judge Judy said, you follow a stupid child home and you find stupid parents. You know, you got a lot of people who do idiotic things because their teachers are idiotic. That's who they're allowing to teach them. And so we need people who are who have wisdom to teach people and to help people. So Lord, we just thank you for Sabrina's gifting of being able to teach people in all capacities, even if she's not necessarily behind a podium teaching, you know, that she teaches people even in everyday life, teaches people how to think, teaches people how to operate in wisdom, teaches people how to seek you, teaches people how to get into their word. Because teaching is not only available in one capacity. People are teaching, like even with social media, people are being taught on social media. So we know that teaching can be done in many forms and fashions. So Lord, we just petition you to release her to do that and to have people draw to her that need to be taught. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Next caller, 334-520.
Hi, this is Cindy in Alabama.
Hey, Cindy, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I love y'all. And that was my sister y'all just prayed for. And
oh,
you were
awesome.
So on point. Okay. Yes. She's the Ark of the Covenant. There's so much. I mean, the anointing on her life. Oh my gosh. We would be here for until tomorrow for me to tell you. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
But you're so on point. Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
Awesome. That's awesome. Okay. All right. Okay, Cindy. Well, I'm going to mute you and we're going to pray for you.
Okay. Thank
you. You're welcome.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for Sydney tonight, Lord. We just thank you for grace of being sufficient. God's grace is enough. God's grace is enough for us to love beyond pain, love beyond being hurt, love beyond being disappointed, love beyond being tricked. His grace is sufficient. His grace is enough for us to do those things. But be led. Be led on how to nurture, on what relationships to nurture. What relationships to nurture. Just be led. Because loving someone don't mean y'all gotta kick it every day. You gotta talk every day or this, that, and other. No. No. Loving them is enough. But God has chosen people for you that's going to impart in you. God has chosen people for you who you're going to impart into. And so those are the people that warrant your time. Those are the people that have been assigned to some of the time that God has given you here in the earth. And so time management is of the essence, isn't it? Moving forward. And really, really like taking like a deep breath and just relaxing. Just relaxing and really just allowing yourself to give it all to the Lord. Give it all to Him. Everything. Everything. Give it to Him. Even when it comes down to you purchasing a new car, ask God what type of car He wants you to ride, to have. Ask the Lord and see what He says. Because you might be wanting something and selling yourself short. Because He said He'll do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. And so the power that worketh within us is the Holy Spirit. So when we confide to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will teach us all truths. And so you will definitely find and know what's for you when you turn it over to the Lord. So we just thank you, Heavenly Father. We petition you tonight, Sydney, Father God, that she begins to think bigger, that she begins to declare for more in Jesus' name, and that she releases in Jesus' name. We petition tonight, Father God, that her health is renewed, mental health is renewed. Physical health is renewed. Spiritual health is renewed now in Jesus' name, with the reassurance and you reaffirming things in her life. And Lord, we just thank you for this pit stop right now to get refueled and to get everything that needs to be checked before she gets back out on the track. And Father, we just thank you that the people that you supply her, that they come now and make themselves known so that your will can be carried out
from the assignment that you have assigned to her life. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
That's what I got for you, Sydney.
All right. Next caller here is 682-738. Who are we speaking to? You there, 682-738? No. Maybe they're sleeping. Okay, we'll come back to you. It's possible. 850-764, who are we speaking to? Let's make sure.
I mean, you can check on that.
I mean, it looks like we're connected, but I'm just going to
pull up the data.
Okay, let's see. Yeah, it still shows connected. Maybe everybody's falling asleep.
What's your name?
Okay. We'll come back to this one, too. Now, if the next one is silent, then I know something's up. Everybody ain't asleep. 478-233.
Hello, this is Janice from Georgia.
Hey, Janice.
Hey, Janice, how are you?
How are you?
I'm all right. How y'all doing?
Great, great, great.
We're doing great. Well, I'm going to mute you and pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Janice, Father God. We thank you for your cooking up thing. Cooking up. I see the Lord like cooking for you. I love food. I'm a foodie. And I like to cook too. I love to cook because it's so creative. I'm the type of person I could taste the ingredients in food. Like if we go out to eat, I'll tell Terrence, I'm like, oh yeah, I could, you know, recreate this because it's got, you know, this in it, that. I could taste like all the ingredients separately. So I know how to blend it all and recreate dishes. And I see the Lord cooking things for you. So taking things and what is cooking really? You take a whole bunch of separate ingredients and you put them together and you make something out of something new, basically, out of things that were all standalone or individual. But you make something new out of it. You know, like look at like how you make a cake, you know, it's got flour, eggs, it's got, you know, depending on the type of cake, vanilla extract and butter and all that kind of stuff. And you took these things that were, they could be completely different things on their own, but when you mix them all together, they create a cake or, you know, they create whatever the case may be. That's what cooking is. That's the beauty of cooking is you finding the perfect blend of things and making it yummy. And I see God cooking for you, taking things that were individual and blending them together and creating something new. And so, yeah, that's what I see the Lord cooking. So new things, something new, basically, something new out of things that were individual. Bringing it together and blending it, mixing it and making it something new and appetizing, right? Because nobody cooks for people to say, I'm not eating that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you cook, I know when I cook, I want people to enjoy my food, you know. That's why when people cook and bring it to potlucks, bless their heart, when nobody wants to eat it. Nope, they didn't take the time to cook, so people didn't want to eat it, you know. So you want your food to be appetizing and you want people to partake in it. And that's what I see God cooking. This is not a food thing. This is an analogy that God is using. But he's taking things that are individual, he's going to blend them together, make it something new, make it appetizing so that you can partake in it. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that all be clear to her. And let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, we found out who 682-738, that was LaShawn.
Yeah.
Wait, no? No, she's... Oh, okay. She had to call back in. Is she? I don't see her. Was it the, maybe?
It was 6:18.
Okay, well, let's just pray over her because we know that she, we know that was her. All right, so go ahead, babe.
Well, we thank you for the son tonight, Father God. We thank you for establishing her, established. You know, the Lord says after you suffered a little while, he will strengthen and establish you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're strong. You're at a strong point in your life where you can establish things. Because when you're strong, strength comes through having a made up mind.
Mm.
When you think about a made up mind, that's strength. You'll find weakness in a wavering mind. That's why it says the double-minded man is unstable.
Mm.
There is no stability when your mind is wavering. But when you have made up your mind, when you have a made-up mind, you have a strength. You have a fortified wall set to focus and to get something done.
Yeah.
You can establish something with the made-up mind. And so we just thank God for you having a made-up mind and being strong in your mind to begin to build what God has assigned for you to build and to see it all the way through. To see it all the way through. And God is giving you an extra dose of compassion. It ain't like you don't have any now, but like an extra dose of compassion for the people that he's called you for. Not to be taken advantage of or anything like that, you know, but he's giving you the compassion to really see what really needs to be seen, because you know, we sometimes can treat everybody the same way, you know, based off of our experience with one person.
Mm-hmm.
But God is giving you like this extra capacity to be able to see what's really real and what's not. You know, who's really worth the time and who's not. Because this overwhelming compassion pool is going to be like your trigger to know who to give time to and who not. And so we just thank God for that happening. We just petition you tonight, Lord, to open those doors for the son, Father God, to provide the necessary funds to fund the vision that you have given her, Father God. And we petition your throne tonight, Lord, for her family, Father, for her family to have those broken areas mended in Jesus' name, and that you have the encounters with those that she loves.
Yes.
With those that she loves, Father God, have those encounters with them so that they can see you and give her the heart, the mind, to accept your will being done in everybody's life. To acknowledge people's decisions
mm-hmm.
that people make. And not carry the burdens of the decisions that others make. In Jesus' name, we thank you that you release her from that, from the burdens of others, other people's decisions that they've made for their lives. We just thank you for releasing her right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Next caller here is 605-390.
Carla, Arkansas.
Hey, Carla, how are you tonight?
Good. How about y'all?
Good.
We're doing good.
Nice
all right.
To hear you again.
Yeah, we're going to talk to you in a little bit. Mute you and pray for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Carla. We thank you for the protection realm. We thank you for the covering. I see God covering you and your family. And I see you really really putting full trust in God. We say we trust God, but we really have to put full trust in, especially when there's like legal things and especially when it's things that come up with our family. And when it's something that we don't have any control over, really, right? We have to really trust God, put full trust in God. And I see you having to do that, to just put full trust in Him. And God's going to, He's going to teach you how to trust. You know, sometimes we say, well, I'm just trusting God, and we're not, our hair is falling out, and our teeth are getting loose and losing sleep and weight because we're telling people that because that's what we're supposed to say, but we're not really acting it out. We don't really know what that means sometimes to trust God. We don't know how to let something go. We don't know how to not do anything because we naturally, especially when it's our family, we naturally want to step in and be doing something. And sometimes we just don't know how to turn the reins over. But I see you, God teaching you how to trust. What does that mean? You know, a lot of times people will come to us with their problems and their burdens, and we'll just say, well, just trust God and you know, send them on their way. And they're like, how? You know, what do I do? What does that mean? And I see God using you to teach people that, but he's going to teach you first, of course. Like we were just talking about earlier, that usually the things that we're strong in is because we've experienced them and walked through them ourselves. So, Lord, we just thank you for that, for the full trust in you and what that means, how to walk that out, and then how to be there for other people who need to do the same, who need to turn it over to you, and what that means and what that looks like, and how to maintain our peace, like we were talking about last week, that how do we get that peace that surpasses understanding? We have to petition and pray. In everything, petition God about it, pray about it, and that's how you get that peace. And then set your mind on things that are lovely, pure, things that are true, things that have a good report. You know, that's how you overcome while you're in the trust and while you're just walking in faith. Sometimes that's all you got is your faith, because what you see in front of you, not lining up. So you got to focus on the good report and what God has said and what God has spoken, because sometimes when you're in faith mode, you know, you got to kind of shut your eyes to what you're seeing, because it could discourage you, but you got to learn how to overcome that. And you are going to learn how to overcome that. And what does it mean to really just put your full, complete, total faith and trust in God? So Lord, we just thank you for Carla. We thank you, Father God, we petition your throne. For her faith level to grow, for her to feel a sense of not control, so to speak, but that the situation is in control because it's in your hand. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we say, oh, I just feel out of control. And that's true. It is out of our control, but it doesn't mean that the situation is out of control. It's just not in our control, but it's in your control. So we can trust that. Doesn't have to be where we have to touch it and we have to do something. We can trust that you're going to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. And so we're not going to say that that's an out-of-control situation. We're going to say it's in God's control.
Mm-hmm.
So teach her even how to redirect her speech and her thought patterns so that she can maintain her peace. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Next caller is 828-989.
Hi, this is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hey, Jennifer, how are you tonight?
I am blessed, very blessed.
Amen. I'd like to hear that.
Amen.
All right,
yes, you are.
We're going to mute you and pray for you.
Yes, you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And God is using you during this season, Jennifer, to speak. The Bible, it tells us to speak those things that be not as though they were.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people can take it out of context and be around here talking about, you know, I'm walking on hot coals barefooted.
You know, I can walk on hot coals barefooted. You know, I can walk on hot coals barefooted. You know, and that's not in God's will for you to walk on hot coals. But what's in God's will for your life, speak those things. It's in his will for your life for you to be blessed. That's in his will. It's in his will for you to be not only blessed, but prosper,
mm-hmm.
even as your soul prospers, and be in good health. You know, these things are in God's will. So the things that's in God's will for your life, continue to speak them. God is giving you a boldness, a type of ownership to really stand on the word of God and to really exercise your faith in this season, because whatever you're believing for, what God has said and told you, it is going to manifest. It will manifest. It's a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
A matter of time. Please walk with the Lord continuously. He cannot fail. You don't lose walking with the Lord. You don't. Situations may come where it may seem as if you are taking a loss. But see, people may win battles, but it's all about winning the war. You may come up short on a few assignments, but your average, what's your average?
Mm-hmm.
God never fails. He never has lost. We'll never lose.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never fail. We'll never lie. And we'll never leave you. So he's with us right now. And we petition the throne. We petition the Lord tonight that your mind is open to see what God has said. Literally, see it in your thoughts. And that is more real than the reality you live in.
Mm-hmm.
And what God says is more real than what you're experiencing. Because it is. And we just thank God for their strength in you. Thank God for their growth. Thank God for the dominance, the dominion that he's placed in you.
Mm-hmm.
For you to lead. For you to prepare ways. We just thank you for that being revealed to you more. Being made more sense is being made to you about it. You're getting the clarity that you need, understanding. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. 205-531.
This is Junior May from Alabama.
Hey, Junior May.
How are you tonight?
Bless.
Amen. Let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Julia May, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the come up. We thank you for the I put that on the wrong spot. Wait, did I unmute somebody?
You unmuted.
Oh, they're back. Okay, so mute them. There we go. Okay, let me. Okay, there we go. All right, Lord, we thank you for Julia May. We thank you for the come up. We thank you for, like, I see you being like a come up. You know, we say, oh, I came up. You know, it's a term that people use when they got something and it elevated them in some sort, in some sense. Like, it's a come up. And that's what I see. I see you, the Lord, causing you to have a come up, so to speak. And I don't see that you have to necessarily do anything to receive it. You just have to, well, of course, you have to be in a position to receive, but it's not something that you have to, like, physically do. Sometimes all we got to do is just wait and just stand there. And then God gives it to us. Because sometimes he hides things. Sometimes it's a matter of, you know, let's say there was going to be, like, some sort of raffle or something, and there's 1,000 people waiting. And then everybody's getting tired of waiting. Everybody goes away, and now you're the last person there. So now, at a default, you came up because nobody else is there to win. Everybody got tired and they left. So sometimes it's not something that you have to do to get it per se, but you have to still just be in a position to receive it. And that's what I see God having you to do, where you're just in a position because everybody else is like, forget this, or I don't see no value in this, or whatever the case may be. And you're just, you know, standing in position until you come up, you know, and it's a God thing. It's by his hand. But, of course, there's things in the natural that have to play out. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for the positioning so that she can receive the hidden things, mm-hmm. the things that appear to have no value, but you know that they have value, and then you will reveal the value to her so that she could partake in the value of it. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come up. Okay. Now let me go to 336-354.
Amen.
Yeah. I knew that was Mama Ruth's number because I was like, wait a minute. I was like, how is
it? Yeah. It's me. Oh yes, me. I heard it when it when it's unmuted and then you what's calling it back. You know, you what's calling back. I just waited. How Amen. You all doing?
We're great, doing good. Great.
You hanging in here.
I am too.
Amen, man. All right. Let's pray for you. We're gonna mute you and pray for you.
Yeah, yes, I'm for you. I'm a root. All right. If you go to Mark 9:29, notice said that he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer, fasting. And, you know, it's talking about, you know, you got to cast out these demons, and the disciples, you know, they was a little confused on, you know, why certain things couldn't be done, or this, that, and other. But Jesus said certain things can only be done by fasting and praying. And so you've prayed, you have fasted, you've done a lot and continuously done a lot, and there are some things to come that you are going to have to continue to pray and fast for. And that's the only way that it's going to be cast out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way that it's going to be removed, is by fasting and prayer. Praying and fasting. And this is not just for you, this is for you to for somebody else, for you to begin to share with people that they're gonna have to pray and they're gonna have to fast. Because you can't believe it for them. You know, you can't get it done for them. You know, you can support them and you can walk with them, but you can't do it for them.
they have to do it for themselves. And so teaching them the importance of what prayer does through fasting, along with fasting, to get the results that's needed on certain levels. Because it's third demons that just ain't finna go with just like, hey, get on up out of here, you demon. Now, you got to really put that work in to really hear from the spirit, to actually do what the spirit says do in order to get that particular thing gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's some work available. And we just thank God for that being revealed and you having that strength that's needed. And we petition, Lord, tonight that you move like youth, like you're able to move youthfully, but you got the wisdom of elders, like the elderly wisdom, but you're able to move youthfully. You're able to get a lot of things done quicker because of the wisdom and knowing what to do and how to do it. And we just thank God for that being revealed to you and being done in your life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Sean just texted and said that word was for her too about the fasting. And yeah, I am I can testify about how fasting has caused breakthroughs, like where, like you said, sometimes you just be praying and it's like sometimes you really got to pray and fast because that thing, you know, you got to turn that plate over. And I've seen some real breakthroughs with fasting. So awesome word. All right, let's go here to the next caller. A little bit, this person, I think they had dropped. They were supposed to be next. So I'm going to go back to them. 251-229.
Yes, hello, everyone. This is Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Sarah, sleep.
Not yet.
So they're trying to hang in there. Getting the head bob on. I know.
As long as she don't fall out the window. Like when who was preaching the person fell out the window? Was it Paul?
Yeah, it was Paul.
Yeah, Paul was.
Oh, it was legit.
Man, he was an intellectual though, so I can imagine how some of those people, you know those some of those intellectuals are. It's like snooze deal. But we're glad that you are with us tonight, Sarah. We're gonna mute you and pray for you. And let's see what the Lord has to say. Lord, we just thank you right now for Sarah. It's funny that you're talking about the sleep because that's what I'm seeing of the Lord is awakening things in you. Things that you thought, it was like what we talked about last week. We were talking about Lazarus, right? How Lazarus, where he got to Jesus, that Lazarus was sick, he just stayed where he was at, you know, and then he got there, and they're like, man, he died, you know, and he's like, he's asleep. And then he ended up resurrecting him, but there was proof that he was dead because he had the bandages on, and, you know, the stone was in front of his tomb, but he was able to resurrect them. But I see God awakening things that in this case, it is the opposite where you think that they're dead and really they're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between something that's dead and something that's asleep. When something is asleep, you can just, you know, it's like people are asleep. You can just nudge them. You can just, you know, shake them and they wake up and takes them a minute to get, you know, their mind clear. But after they go through whatever ritual they need to go through to be alert, then
they're good as new. And that's what I see God awakening some things. And so it's going to be take the process like a, you know, a person who was asleep for a long time. Imagine when you're in that deep slumber, which I pray I'm going to be in tonight, because, man, I tell you, today took it out of me. And so sometimes when you're in that deep slumber and somebody wakes you up in the middle of it, like you didn't naturally wake up, you know, it takes you a little minute to kind of become alert and fully functioning. Even though you're awake, you're not fully alert. But I see God awakening some things, and it's just going to take a little minute to become alert, but it's going to get to where it needs to be. But you're going to have the patience for it because you thought it was a dead issue in the first place. So if you thought something was dead and you find out it's not dead, it was just sleep, and then it takes a little minute to get alert, you're not going to be concerned about that because you're like, I'm just happy that it's alive, you know, that it's not dead. And so, Lord, we just thank you for awakening the sleep things and showing Sarah the areas of her life or even the dreams or hopes that she had that are not dead, but they're just sleep. And we thank you, Lord, for the spiritual nudge to awaken those things. Like for myself, for example, Sarah, the Lord had told me years ago that I was going to write books. And I actually used to write books as a child and sell them to my friends. And as I became an adult and, you know, started having kids and all that kind of stuff and had a career, had a path for school, that thing, I felt like that was a dead thing. Like, that was something back then, you know, life happens and that's just not in the path for me. That's just not. And God awoke that, you know, and it's still in that whole trying to get alert phase, but it's getting there. It's about to be alert. And like it was when I first thought I was going to be writing books. And so as I'm waiting for that thing to become fully alert, I'm just happy that it's still something that's not a dead issue, that it's something that was just sleep. It was like just kind of lying dormant in my life, but God gave it a spiritual nudge. And so sometimes we think that things that we hoped and dreamed for years ago were tied into who we were at that stage in our life, or we allow where we're at in our life right now to kind of suffocate it out and say, oh, that just doesn't fit into what I'm doing anymore. But everything has seasons, you know, and so God will, you know, allow a season for that thing to come to pass. And that's what I see God nudging the sleep things. And then taking just a little bit of time to become fully alert and then allowing the season to partake in it. So we just thank you for that, Lord. Let that be done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go here to go back up. 903-576.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hi, who are we speaking to?
Deborah.
Hey, Deborah.
Hey, Deborah. How are you tonight?
Oh, I wish I could say I wish I could say I'm better, but I'm not. I need prayer. I lost my home, my car.
Well,
hello.
Yeah, we're here. You'll cut out, but we're here.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine.
I really, really need prayer because I'm stuck in a motel room and I don't know where I'm going to go after this.
All right, well, we're definitely going to pray for you. Yes, let's hear what the Lord has to say. We're going to mute you and pray for you. And we know our PGM family that's listening is going to agree with us and pray for you too.
Amen. Well, we thank you for Deborah tonight. We just come touching and agreeing with her, Father God, that you give her strength, give her guidance in Jesus' name, Father God. Bring peace to her right now in Jesus' name. We bind any spirit of confusion. We come against the spirit of doubt. Right now we come in against the spirit of disbelief, heavy concern, anxiousness, Father God. We just thank you that you are a God that supplies the needs. And so, Father, we speak
to Deborah's perspective tonight, mm-hmm. Father God. Her perspective, her view that she sees things the way that you see them, Heavenly Father, that she can see beyond the mess. She can see through the mess. She can see things for what it really is in Jesus' name. We petition you that her hope is not deferred tonight in Jesus' name. We come against her heart being sick. We really come against doubt right now in the name of Jesus. And we speak to her belief in you, her strength in you, Father God, to know that her needs will be supplied.
Mm-hmm.
Will be supplied. Because sometimes we go in situations and we think that it's all so bad. And in the natural eye, that's what it absolutely could seem like.
Mm-hmm.
It could seem just like that. But then just like that, it could be all so good. All so good. And so God says he changes not. He's saying tonight, don't allow the situation that you're experiencing to define who you are, to define your character, and to take you to a place of no benefit, where it's not going to benefit you. Stay in the benefit zone, and challenge your mental tonight in Jesus' name. We pray for your mental fortitude right now in Jesus' name, and we know that God is going to take care of it. God is going to take care of it. Sometimes we look at things as a loss, but really it's a gain. God sometimes allows things to be removed so that he can replace. You can get upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that this is a time in your life but God wants to use this so he can get glory, so he can show you something. So he can show you another side of him. Where has God ever failed you in life? Ask yourself that question. Ask yourself that question. And sleep peacefully tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we just spring forth the miracles. Let them spring forth. We just petition your throne on behalf of Deborah tonight, Father God, for the provision,
mm-hmm.
for the favor to just make a way where there appears to be no way, and show the path where it looks like there is none, and give her the faith and the strength to believe that she's in your hands. Your word says that the birds are taken care of. How much more will you take care of us, that we don't have to worry about what we're going to eat, drink, or wear, whatever. You're going to take care of us. So help her to remember that and to stand firm on that. Let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Next caller here, 760574.
Hi there.
Hey.
Hello, who are we speaking to?
This is Jessica from California.
Hey, Jessica, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Today's my Friday, so it's a good day.
Oh, wow. Always nice. Yes. All right, well, let's pray for you, Jessica. I remember when Sundays were like my Friday when I worked. Mondays were my Friday because I used to work every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah, I used to work 4x10, and Mondays were my Friday. So where everybody would have the Mondays, I would be excited because I'm like, it's my Friday because I got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off. I used to love working a 4x10. I just didn't like the hours. But let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Jessica, Father God. We thank you for the market. Thank you for the market. Marketing. Hold on. I'm going to look up the word market. It's almost like when people have like a marketing firm. Like they usually use marketing firms to like get their products known and get them out there with the consumers and that kind of stuff. Okay, so market, the definition of market, a meeting together of people for the purpose of trade by private purchase and sale, and usually not by auction. People assembled at such a meeting, a public place where a market is held, a retail establishment, a geographic area of demand for commodities or service, the course of commercial activity by which the exchange of commodities is affected, extent of demand. That's what I'm picking up, the extent of demand. I see the Lord marketing you, so to speak. So not that you're for sale, but putting you out there to cause like a demand for you. It's like that's what people do when they go to marketing firms. You know, businesses pay marketing firms to so that they can get more consumers. So there's a demand, so to speak, for their product or whatever it is that they're, you know, whatever they're producing. But I see the Lord putting you to market, so to speak. So basically putting you out there so that making you available to people. Thank you, Lord. All coming together now. But, yeah, the Lord's going to put you out there and make you available. That's a term that we even use on the type of job I do, like risk management, insurance type thing. But if I'm trying to find a product to match one of my clients' needs, I take them to market. And so there's all these different carriers, and they don't know who my client is until I put my client in front of them and let them know the nature of their business, what they're trying to cover, and then they come to me with, you know, products and services or whatever that would cover my client's needs. And so that's what the Lord's going to do. He's going to take you to market so that you're in front of people who now know who you are, what type of needs, and then they will give you solutions to those needs. So it's like you don't even have to do anything. You don't have to put yourself in front of the people. God is going to do it for you. He's going to market you, put you out there, make you available to people, and so that they can provide you with whatever your needs are, to like almost give you a covering. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. It's like I said, it's almost like a puzzle, but because that's a strange word, but that's what I'm seeing. Him putting you, taking him, he's likening it now more to what I do when I put people to market. But like I said, they wouldn't have known who these people were had I not presented them and told them what they needed. And then they come back with a solution. And so God is going to do that, though, on your behalf, take you to market so that your needs are out there and people can provide solutions to your needs. So Lord, we just thank you for Jessica. We thank you for taking her to market. We thank you that you're going to put her in a position where people know who she is, what she needs, and they'll be able to supply the needs. So we thank you, Father God, that you ultimately are the one that supplies our needs, but you use people and in the earth to be the hand that does it. But ultimately it's coming from your hand, it's coming from your provision, it's coming from what you have spoken. And so we just thank you for that, and let that be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And that is everybody tonight. Thank you all for calling in. We love you. Till next time.
Amen.
We will be praying for you as always. Continue to pray for us. Call back in tomorrow. I think there'll be a 7 o'clock show likely. Randy will text you if you're on the text list to let you know if there's a 7 o'clock show, and then he will be on at 9. Good night, everybody.